This morning we reflect on the theme, How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God. That was also the response to today's psalm. We sang it a number of times. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God. It's a beautiful thing to reflect on. It's an opportunity or a doorway into the temple. And as Father Francis often taught us, the temple is one of the overarching themes of the whole church liturgy. Once you talk about the temple, you talk about the presence of God, you talk about worship of God, you talk about sacrifice, talk about unity in the presence of God. So there's a lot to this beautiful theme. It's interesting that the church chooses this psalm to go along with the other readings today. The psalm is very positive, very beautiful. How lovely is your dwelling place. But in the first reading, we see that in the temple, there is defilement. The people are making it into a den of thieves. And in the gospel, we see that the temple of God's creation is infiltrated with weeds. It's a different image, of course, temple, field, but the field has both weeds and wheat. But let's start with this psalm, Psalm 84, How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord, mighty God. It's one of the psalms that the Jews sang when they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Remember, the Jews had a tradition of going to Jerusalem every year, sometimes more than once a year, but at least once a year, to worship the Lord. You might think of the Holy Family when Jesus was growing up in Nazareth, which is way up in the north. Every year they would go to Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover. And it was a long journey. It took a couple of days to get there. So while they're going up to Jerusalem, up the mountain of Jerusalem, they sing the Psalms of Ascent, they call them. And this is one of them. It's a song that celebrates the opportunity to go to Jerusalem, and not just go to Jerusalem, but to go to the temple, to go to the place where God dwells. It was like the high point of the year, the high point of the life of the Jews, to go and be with God. My soul yearns and pines for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. We only read excerpts from Psalm 84 today, but it conveys the spirit of it. What a great thing it is. What a beautiful thing it is to be able to go and be with God in his house, his dwelling place, his temple. Now, we don't have in modern culture, or even in our religion, we don't have an exact equivalent of the place of the temple. For the Jews, all wanted to go to the same place. That's what they longed to do. It represented not only the presence of God, but also the establishment of God's chosen people. It was the center of the kingdom. It was the center of the government. It was the center of the culture, of the society. It was kind of everything, the temple. I say we don't have anything quite like that in our experience. When people come to Manila, well, where do they want to go? They don't all want to go to the Manila Cathedral. Some do. Most, they want to go to the Mall of Asia, the MOA, or maybe the Aura, or one of the other very beautiful malls. But there's no song that says how lovely is the Mall of Asia, or anything like that. There's no one place or one experience that really unites the people. In fact, if you think about it, the Muslims have a practice that's closer to what the Jews did, because they have this tradition of going to Mecca, the pilgrimage to Mecca, and they're supposed to go there at least once in their lifetime. So they have in their religious culture the idea that this is a high point of your life. If once you go to Mecca, you can die. Well, in Christianity, we're not interested in going to Mecca or to Jerusalem or to Rome or to the Mall of Asia or any place. Our longing is to go to heaven, to be with God. So all of these images, especially the Old Testament images of the promised land and of the temple, are all indicators of what our hearts really long for, and that is heaven. Why the temple? Well, the temple was a beautiful building, yes, a beautiful place, strikingly beautiful by comparison to the ordinary dwellings and buildings of the time. In fact, there was nothing to compare to the temple. So yes, it was beautiful in itself. But the greatness of the temple wasn't just its physical beauty, it was the presence of God there. The opportunity to be with God. And the psalmist says, I had rather one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be just one day in your temple than anywhere else for 1,000 days, even any other beautiful place. I had rather lie at the threshold of the house of my God, just at the edge, just at the entryway, than dwell in the tents of the wicked, inside the comforts and the beauty, perhaps, of a place that is not where God dwells. So this is it. Our psalm, our theme, lifts up our hearts to the presence of God, the beauty, the loveliness of the dwelling place of God. However, we're not in heaven yet. And part of our longing for the presence of God is affected by our experience of what is marring the loveliness of his temple. When we go to a beautiful place, we're happy to be there, but when we encounter something that's not beautiful, it ruins the experience. Well, if you go to Moa, maybe it's a beautiful place, but when you find out it's very expensive to buy your lunch there, you say, well, I would have been better off staying at home. Or if you find a thief there or a pickpocket, or if you find someone in corrupt business practice or someone cheating on his taxes, well, this is supposed to be a beautiful place. This is what the prophet Jeremiah speaks about in today's reading. The people are going to the temple. The people are rejoicing to go to the temple. They're offering their sacrifices in the temple. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And Jeremiah says, wait a minute. Don't just put your trust in these deceitful words, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Yes, God is in his temple. God is beautiful. God reigns in his dwelling place. But what are you doing here? Are you to steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, go after strange gods that you know not, and yet come to stand before me in this house, which bears my name? You think you can just come here with all your sins, with all your infidelities, with all your ugliness, and say, oh, this is really a lovely place. Oh, we're so happy to be here. Jeremiah says, no, it's not enough to be in a lovely temple. It's not enough to be where God dwells. We have to honor his presence with an inner loveliness. Because after all, what is the temple of the Lord? We ourselves, our own hearts, are God's chosen temple, and he doesn't want his temple defiled. So this is the message of Jeremiah. Look not only at the buildings and at the external performances, look at the heart. Look at what's going on inside. Look at the abominations that defile the temple and get rid of them. Are you making the temple into a den of thieves? Jeremiah says. Don't do that to the Lord. Now, when we turn to the gospel, we see that the mixture of what is lovely and what is ugly is complicated by the entry of an enemy. This is the parable of the weeds and the wheat. God establishes a beautiful place, a beautiful dwelling place. How lovely is your dwelling place? Along comes an enemy. This is the image of Satan. And he plants weeds in the field of the Lord. And so in this life we experience, even in the temple of the Lord, even in the church, even in our own hearts, this mixture of weeds and wheat, of what is beautiful and what is ugly. The parable tells us that we can't pull up all the weeds. We shouldn't. We shouldn't put all our energy into trying to eradicate all the evils that we can see. Because if we put our energies into that, we can destroy the wheat. This, of course, we do have to pull up some weeds and we have to work against evil. But the real separation of the weeds and the wheat takes place at the end, and God does it. So we don't have to worry about it. We're aware that the temple can be defiled and there's only so much we can do about it, but we don't lose heart because we know that at the end, all the weeds are going to be collected and they'll be put in their proper place and used for burning, and the wheat will be gathered into the barn of the Lord. In the end, meaning in heaven, when all of God's people are gathered in glory, then they will be able to sing this psalm without any interference. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord mighty God. In heaven, it's all loveliness. There are no weeds. There is no corruption. There's no den of thieves. Everything there is pure and holy. It either always was pure and holy, or it has been purified by the grace, by the mercy of God. So our longing for the dwelling place of God is important. It's planted in us by God himself. And that longing for the dwelling place of God is a longing for the place to be holy and for us to be holy in that place. Our journey, our pilgrimage, we're not on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, but we are on a pilgrimage to eternal life, to heaven. And on this pilgrimage, we increase this longing. We foster it. We sing it. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord mighty God. And we want to be united with you in your dwelling place. That's the focus of these readings. And this gives us an encouragement to persevere. Persevere in our resistance of sin. Persevere in our doing good. Persevere in our making this a lovely place, this world, as best we can. And perseverance in hope that at the end, it will all be lovely because God makes his dwelling place lovely.